Welcome back to episode 8 of All Talk No Balk. We are excited to have an all bullpen panel today. Very exciting. As always, I'm Heather.
And I'm Charles. And yeah, Heather, we got all of our bullpen staff here basically on the marketing side. We got Andrew coming back and now Tori joining us today. What's up, Tori? Welcome in.
Happy to be here. Hi, guys.
Yes, and we have Reese as always, and it's the whole crew, and we're excited to get started. And today, a little different, we don't have a guest to interview, so we're just going to be talking about baseball in Texas right now and the state of it, and some of it's good, most of it's not so good, and most of it's ugly. So we're going to start with Houston, our favorite team to talk about here on All Talk No Balk, has quietly won 8 games in a row, I believe. What do we think? Is that ugly? That's pretty ugly.
Ugly. I hate seeing them with a winning record. 15-10 just doesn't sit right with me right now. Yeah. They're in the AL West, and they need to get out of there. It's not at all. What about you, Reese? What are you feeling right now?
I mean, it's definitely ugly, but something to keep in mind is, like, 4 of those wins came against the Giants and the Mariners, so we're looking at the last-place teams. You also have them going up against the Padres tonight, who are also on a win streak. So it's ugly for now, but we'll see how long that lasts.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, listen, I don't know if San Diego can be, like, I don't know if they could sweep Houston. I know they're, like, feeling pretty right now. We'll talk about them in a minute. But, you know, we'll see. It'll be an interesting offensive matchup, to say the least. And it's very interesting, particularly, what is Houston doing with their pitching? I'm not really sure how it's working, but it is. One of those things. I thought they didn't have any, but I guess they do. So,
I mean, he hasn't allowed a home run this year yet.
Been hitting the long ball. And pitching-wise, I mean, coming out of nowhere. And they seem to be confident, and confident enough to for Greinke to tell what pitch he's throwing. And that's then strike out better. So, that's impressive on its own.
Yeah. Zach Greinke, everybody's favorite weird guy. Yes, okay, so that's Houston over on, and I'm horrible with geography, the South? No, the North? Whatever. Where's Dallas, everybody? Look it up. I don't know where the Texas, I think it's Dallas. Don't they play in Dallas? I don't know. botched that whole thing. The Texas Rangers. So there, on the flip side, starting pitching was supposed to be great. And maybe not so great. I don't know, team. What are we seeing?
Definitely having some struggles. I mean, offense is popping off against them, especially the Padres in this last series, like we were talking about. So they made history against the starting rotation. So it's definitely not going their way.
Yeah, really with them. And we're another Sebastian, who you guys might remember from an earlier episode or two, is writing an article about Lance Lynn, I believe. So you'll see that he's a bright spot, but yeah, could be better. But the more juicy stuff comes at the behest of the people that played against these Texas teams or just have an involvement with the Houston scandal. Trevor Bauer wanted to wear cleats. One of them said free Joe Kelly. The other one had a picture of Joe Kelly's pouty face. And they were hilarious. Yes, Andrew is repping Joe Kelly, a tan Joe Kelly.
Very tan, with the face in question.
Yeah. And he was gonna wear those cleats, but MLB threatened with fines and possible suspension. And he didn't want to, you know, put it, because he's a pitcher, don't want to put his team at risk. Trevor Bauer, who we've talked about plenty of times on the podcast, who we love, who's very open about everything, who's direct, who just likes to, you know, stir the pot a little bit. I love the cleats. Personally, I saw them before the game started when I thought he was going to wear them. And they were hilarious. And frankly, MLB, man, what is up, guys? What do we think?
They can't get anything right lately. Manfred needs to get out of there. He messed up on the Joe Kelly situation. He continues to mess up on anything Joe Kelly related. And
I'm
honestly getting tired of it. I don't know. What do you guys think? It's honestly just, it's getting old with him. You know, he needs to get out of there. What do you think, Andrew? Yep.
I'm kind of getting tired of it. I appreciated Trevor Bauer's cleats. I'm not the biggest fan of Trevor Bauer as a person.
What?
But yeah, he rubs me the wrong way. His personality doesn't seem great to me. But you know. Yeah, I'm bringing in the hot takes. But I appreciated the cleats. It's weird when he says things I agree with, but I was definitely on his side in the case of like MLB's handling of the situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good for them. Especially like you said, Charles, MLB isn't handling anything Joe Kelly related or Joe Kelly adjacent. So in the case of, I know we're going to talk about it in a while, but in the case of the Padres situation, how they threw at Manny Machado after Tatis's grand slam, that was the same situation as Joe Kelly's, and he didn't get a suspension. Oh, he got a minor suspension. It was 3 games, not nearly as much as Joe Kelly's.
Tori, did you see the cleats?
Yeah, I felt like I'm kind of not a big fan of him really either.
Wow.
Interesting. But I felt like, I know, sorry, unpopular opinion, but I felt like they were kind of like extreme and kind of unnecessary, but then at the same time, they weren't like hurting anyone necessarily. Like obviously Joe Kelly like became a meme. Like everybody sees that and everybody has been like laughing at it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it was just kind of dumb on MLB. They could have just let him wear them. I don't know.
To play off of that point, that's such a good point, Tori, about the meme. You know, baseball's major problem it has been for, I'd say, the past decade to 15 years has been marketing. I mean, they simply are not getting a younger audience. And the people that have stuck with them for, you know, 50, 60 years are still there. So marketing to the younger crowd has been their problem. And memes, you know, are obviously the new means of relating to each other and coming together as a community on social media. And to really stifle that and also like stifle the players' voices at the same time. That's what the NBA does so well. We don't talk about basketball a lot on the pod, but the fact that they can like right now their names could be, or at least during the bubble, the Orlando bubble, their names could be anything they wanted, and it was social justice, and you know, and they're always, you know, they're big on social media and the whole thing, and they just seem ahead of the curve where baseball always seems to be way behind the curve. So, you know, to not take advantage of that big kind of marketing opportunity with the pouty face and the free Joe Kelly hashtag, and you know, all the Houston stuff, really, since it came to light, it's a bummer. I don't know. What do you think, Reese? You're part of our marketing team.
No, I definitely agree. I know that the MLB said it went against their footwear regulations, but the only two like regulations regarding cleats and like artwork on cleats is that it can't be offensive or political. And the Joe Kelly artwork was not offensive, nor was it political. Might have been offensive to Manfred because he, you know, made a huge mistake. So yeah, sorry if you're embarrassed, but like that's nobody else's fault but your own. And honestly, if anything, it's just an appeal to pop culture, which a lot of people would be receptive to. The free Joe Kelly hashtag, all of that stuff surrounding the Joe Kelly situation, like that's extremely relevant. Like, why would you not take advantage of that and play off of it? So yeah, I think that it was definitely on the fault of the MLB to not allow that. I think it was excessive and a little bit dramatic. Like, again, it wasn't hurting anybody. Mm-hmm. It was funny. It was relevant. And I think that a lot of people would have been receptive to it. But I like what Bowers did with the situation. You know, he auctioned them off to someone.
Yeah.
Like a person who purchased a shirt, and then all the proceeds would go to a charity of Joe Kelly's choice. So I thought that like his handling of the situation was really good, but the MLB's handling of it was very poor.
Poor. And speaking of, you know, pop culture and a little social media, Reese has been having a field day. Because the Slam Diego Padres are all the rage. What started as Fernando Tatis hitting a 3-0 grand slam in the eighth inning of an already blowout game has since turned into three grand slams later and a record for the history books. And the unwritten rules conversation continues. And Tatis has apologized more for that Grand Slam than Houston has for actually cheating. So all of that.
How can you apologize for hitting a home run? If anything, the coach and the manager should be apologizing for not having his back in that press conference, because he was hired to be a player's coach and he's not even having his players back. And Tatis has been known for his, you know, energizing and fun antics on the field. And he just looked sad when Eric Hosmer was over there talking to him. He was getting like a little sit down from him in the dugout. And, you know, I'm surprised that hasn't become on social media or more of a meme yet, because he just looks sad. And it was so just depressing for me to see him so sad, because that's not who he is. He's an energetic guy. He had just passed Trout for the most home runs in this shortened season that we're having. And he didn't even get to enjoy himself after that. You know, after Hosmer grounds out, he's in fact talking to the Rangers dugout and like saying, you know, I'll go talk to him. And it's like, why don't you have your boys back and be like, look, you know, why are we trying to defend the pitchers here? You know, it's like the quarterbacks in the NFL right now, they're just getting too much of a break, too much of a push. And it's like, you know, oh, don't hit on a pitcher because you're up six runs after the sixth inning. Like, what is that? In baseball, we're playing to extend leads right now, not just save them up. So I thought it was kind of an embarrassment that he had to apologize for that. And I think that the one thing that his mistake was there was apologizing. I mean, I think that 3-0 count right now, that's a free strike. You should be able to go after it. And I'm looking at your guys' opinions on that too. What do you think? Tori, what do you got?
I definitely think in a shortened season, like right now, 3-0, like you kind of should be swinging, because every game really matters, especially like not one game. You can't just take off a game or something, especially given this 2020 season. And I know it was controversial and everything, but as someone from like a softball background, I know my coach has always said, if you're swinging 3-0, it better go out of the park. And hey, we can't do anything but like tip our hat. Like Tatis just like delivered, and he did it. And people are going to be upset and everything. But it's part of the game. And when you're hot, you're hot. Like it's just part of the game, I think. And something that more fans are going to have to get used to as we progress, and especially in this very unique 2020 season.
That's a good point, Tori, real quick, that you brought up. You know, he's a hot hitter. It's not like he was in a slump and he swung at 3-0. So yeah, if a hitter is hitting above 20%, which a lot of managers say, at 3-0, that's a good enough number to let him swing for the fences on a 3-0 count, you know. And just because they were leading by a certain number of runs, now he's not supposed to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. How about you pitch better?
Yeah, there's exactly. It's so backwards, like the logic behind it. It's, and to try and hold back up seven runs when teams like the A's are coming back in the ninth inning constantly, like like you have to pad your lead no matter what. And yeah, the whole unwritten rules like conversation, the unwritten rules are so like old. They're very old school. They're of a different time of baseball, and they don't benefit all the players now the way, like with campaigns like let the kids play and we play loud. MLB doesn't back that up. They like to talk a big game, but they don't back it up at all. And it's such a problem for players like Tatis and like Juan Soto and like players of color, the Latin players, the black players, the Asian players, all the players who like MLB deems too flashy. It's targeted indirectly at them, and it's really bad. Like a lot of unwritten rules are for ego protection, and it's really bad.
Yeah, it's a fragile ego situation. Who's going to talk about the fact that just a couple years ago, the Rangers, well, two things. A couple years ago, the Rangers beat the Orioles 30-3. Who's going to talk about that? Also, who's going to talk about the fact that, you know, when Tatis hit this Grand Slam, it was 10-3 and it made it 14-3. So it was a 7-run differential. Just yesterday, the Blue Jays, I think, overcame a 7-run differential against the Phillies. Who's going to talk about that? So what happens, MLB? Let's start with 30-3, guy. I mean, and not to mention Chris Woodward, who's the manager of the Rangers, used to be the third base coach for the Dodgers,
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, who frequently beat up on teams, especially in that 2017 season. So
there's now of course,
your team.
There's now a meme now of that. It's like Woodward is the third base coach, and it's 7-1, and it's late in the game, and Manny Machado hits a home run on 3-0, and he's high-fiving him. He's giving him a high-five. He's not giving him a little, like, no, 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 or anything like that, you know, like the Padres guy was doing. So I was a little surprised that now, you know, the tables have turned on him. He's on the Rangers' side, and what, just because you're not the one who's running the tables, you're going to get all pouty about it? I don't know if I like that, Woodward. That's a bit – it's a bit babyish.
Sore losery. Yeah. But
Tingler kind of, like, walked his statement back about, like, to giving the take sign and kind of, like, talking to Tatis. Hosmer did that, too. I saw the interview maybe this morning or so. But still, it's, like, in the moment itself, you have to be there for your players and have their backs. Because if you walk it back after the fact, after you've been criticized, they're empty words. It means nothing unless you're there in the moment. Like, obviously, the Rangers are going to be offended like they were because Chris Woodward is offended and he's leading the team. And, like, you lead by example or you follow your leader. So, but, yeah, the Padres should have had his back. I know they've kind of made amends and, like, have gone off since then. But still, it's heat of the moment. Reese, it's your team. What do you feel? How do you feel?
I agree with everything being said. Like, you have Woodward. It's a little bit hypocritical because, yeah, when he was with the Dodgers, you have them frequently blowing teams out. Well, back in 2018, the Dodgers blew out the Brewers 21-5. I didn't see any issues, you know, there. And then now all of a sudden, because the Rangers aren't playing better baseball, the Padres are the bad guys, and these unwritten rules suddenly apply. But it's like these guys are doing what they're paid to do, which is go out and produce for their teams and have fun doing it. No apology should be necessary. Honestly, like, I think I agree with what Heather said. It's an ego thing. I think that the Rangers had a bruised ego. I think that Jace Tingler, I'm really disappointed in him for not having his team's back. Like, that's not okay with me. And like Andrew said, like, if you come back after the fact and apologize, like, okay, yeah, it's easy to say, oh, in hindsight, actually, like, you know, I should have been there for Tatis. I should have had my team's back. But at this point, it's like, okay, you're just saving face right now because you saw the backlash that you were facing literally all throughout the baseball community. Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed in Tingler. I'm really proud of Tatis. I think that he should absolutely be swinging 3-0, like, no question. The unwritten rules, I think, rules are meant to be broken. And I think that baseball is constantly evolving and the unwritten rules should be as well. That's a very old school way of looking at it. And I think that it's not conducive to the future of baseball. And so, yeah, I was not happy with what happened in terms of our manager as well as Woodward. But again, I understand why they were salty. Like, you got blown out. Sorry. But yeah, so that's my hot take on the situation.
Yeah, I'll close with this and then we'll move on to your take, our take. We have an article coming up for the bullpen, and it's going to be the a little sneak peek for the fans. It's going to be what rules are tolerated in baseball and what are not. And I just think to compare the Houston situation in which they were all big babies that didn't apologize, that didn't take ownership, versus this 21-year-old dude who's right now probably the best player in the National League, as much as I hate to say it, right now, like this week. He has to apologize for just being a good baseball player versus the actual cheating that has gone on and kind of what the higher ups find acceptable and what they don't is very backwards, especially to the younger crowd. And we've missed yet another marketing opportunity in all of this. For, you know, again, with the, you know, the let the kids play and the, you know, let's get loud and the whole thing. Can't happen if you're, you know, scolding your players for things that don't matter. And it's just like, if it were 3-1, would that have been like, who can, we're talking like a pitch. Like, come on. Like, there are bigger issues in baseball, way bigger issues than one pitch, one count, one player, one grand slam, are the bases loaded? So, but anyway, congrats to San Diego for hitting 4 grand slams in a row. Really cool. And they won all those games narrowly. Sorry, Reese. I just had to say it, except the first one. Oh. Every other game was close, even with the Grand Slams. That's it. I was going to say, no, it's good. And there are going to be healthy competition for the other people in the NL West moving forward.
Thank you, Heather. I appreciate that. I really do.
All right. So we beat all those issues to the ground. And Charles, you want to intro the Your Take, Our Take?
Yes, of course. I just wanted to make sure, Tori, Andrew, was that it for you guys? You were.
Oh. Sorry. Yes.
I think my only closing thing is like to touch on what Heather was talking about like marketing to a younger audience. Like you want people to want to play the game, and if you're chastising your young stars, your superstars for having fun, you're kind of sending the message like you're not supposed to have fun in baseball, and that's kind of been the message in throughout baseball's history. Like everybody always talks about people who play the game the right way, and it's like the person who's like hard-nosed and keeps their head down. It's like, what's fun about that? You want personality in your players. You want bat flips. You want like bits of emotion off the pitcher's mound and things like that. So why wouldn't you embrace that? Because like you were talking about the NBA, Heather, like it does, they do that so well. And yeah. I can't imagine what it's like to have a competent commissioner like Adam Silver. So
I know, so unfair.
Tori, anything before we
get it? I think just the one thing that I would add, I know we all kind of said it in different ways, but if you don't want that to happen to you, then don't get in that situation. Don't get bases loaded. Don't pitch three balls in a row. Then you won't have a problem. So I think there's definitely more things that could have been changed leading up to it. It wasn't just, like you were saying, the one pitch, the one moment. There are other things that contributed to it. So I don't see anything wrong with
it. Sport, we shouldn't be worrying about egos. We should, you know, try to make it the best game as possible and try not to protect these pitchers. But now it's time for your favorite segment and ours. It's Your Take, Our Take. We're so happy to have Tori on for this segment. It's her first time in the Your Take, Our Take realm. And our topic for today is, which team has really surprised you starting out of the gate, winning a lot of games and coming together as a team that we didn't really expect to come together? And do you think that their run will continue? So Reese, we'll go to you, and then Andrew, then Tori, and loop back around to Heather and myself. So why don't we start it off with Reese? Go ahead.
Okay, so my team that I'm going with is the Brewers, and this might be kind of a surprise because they didn't necessarily start off strong. But I think that a lot of things are coming together for them that could really work in their favor going forward. What was so surprising was the fact that, like, prior to the season actually starting, David Steens like completely rebuilt their roster. Like he brought in a lot of new guys, and it's really working for them. And also like they're honestly like their pitching has been carrying the team this whole time, but their offense is really starting to come together and they're picking back up. So I think that if they can maintain that positive growth rate with their offense, you know, their Pena, Garcia, Smoke, Yurich, I think that if they can continue to produce for their teams, and the pitching can remain strong, I really think that the Brewers can keep this up throughout the remaining 40-ish games. So I'm going to go with the Brewers on this one.
Okay, and Andrew?
The Brewers are doing great right now. I mean,
yeah,
he's still kind of slow. Like, but, yep. You know, he's coming along. My team's actually the Oakland A's. So they've been having a hot start. Like I mentioned earlier, all their comeback wins in the ninth. Matt Olson's home run. They had a walk-off grand slam in the first game of the season, so they just kind of set the pace from the get-go. It's impressive. They're in first place right now ahead of Houston. I know the AL West isn't particularly, like, the strongest competition. Sorry, Charles. But yeah, they're holding strong. I know Houston's on a winning streak, but I think the A's can hold them off and kind of hold on to that place.
That's, yes, A's is the hot start, I think, that everybody's looking at right now, especially with their late inning magic, so to speak. Tori, what do you think?
Yeah, I was looking at the A's too, and they've definitely been hot and just been showing up to ball games and surprising me too. But the team that I chose was the San Diego Padres, Slam Diego Padres. I know we've been talking about them and just more than even just these past 4 days in the series. I think it shows that before the series, they'd split with the Dodgers and then gotten swept by Arizona. So they could have easily just rolled over and just let it continue, and they didn't. And I think that really just showed that they're here to play, and they had a hot start, and they're going to continue going. I think that they definitely don't have the best bullpen by any means, but when you have so many good players on your team, a pitcher can be more comfortable on the mound giving up a couple of runs because they know their team's going to have their back. And we've seen that good teams can squeak out those really close games in the past 2 days going into extra innings, and they were able to win both games. So I'm really excited to see how they're going to be for the rest of the season and even probably the years coming forward.
Tori, I agree.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah. Padres love
they're today. Fun to watch. Definitely.
Tatis looks like he's such a big all-star. What do you got, Heather?
Okay. Yeah, I love me the Padres. To that I say the Dodgers still rule the division. Sorry. They're better pitching. I'm going to give a special shout out to Houston because, like I said, I didn't expect the pitching to hold its own. And I guess I expected the offense to also wane since they can't cheat anymore and like bang on trash cans to like get runs across. But my choice, and I think everybody's favorite, is the Marlins. What? They're a game and a half out of first in the division that we all thought was going to be the best, but is actually like not maybe as good as we expected. I think part of it is the Marlins haven't played much because of the whole COVID thing. Part of it is that certain teams, and I'm looking at you, Philadelphia, are not as good as that's just it. Like, they're not as good as we thought. We knew that Washington would probably take a step back with losing some key players to both injury and to free agency. That's one for you, Charles. There you go. We're not only hating on the Angels, Anthony Rendon. Part of it is that the Marlins are just playing without fans and they don't have many fans anyway. So it's not that different of an environment. I'm looking at you, Tampa. All these teams that don't normally have fans in the stands, I'm looking at you, San Diego. are doing well because they don't need to worry about it. And the teams that normally have lots of fans in the stands, with the exception of the Dodgers and the Yankees, of course, are maybe underperforming. The Braves are even up and down. So I don't even know what to think of the NL East anymore. Frankly, and we're going to say this at the beginning of the show, but we forgot. Here's a fun fact for everybody to think about. There are 6 winning records as of this morning, Friday, when we record. In the National League. 6 winning records. 4 of them belong to teams in the NL West. Am I happy about that? Absolutely not. Did anybody think the NL West would be this strong? Absolutely not. But it is. Here we are. It's the Dodgers, Rockies, Padres, and Diamondbacks, for those of you that are lost. And the only poor Giants. Sorry, Tori. By the way, for the fans, Tori is a Yankee Giants fan. So is the Dodgers fans' worst nightmare. And that's what we're playing with right now. So me and Andrew and Tori are going to have some problems. And Reese, and frankly, Charles. Everybody hates the Dodgers. So that's my pick. The Marlins, good for them. They're young. They have interesting pitching. Interesting farm system since giving away literally everyone. Yelich, Stanton, and so on. Derek Jeter runs that team. We'll see what they do. They're young, exciting players. Fun time for them. I don't know if it can continue. What about you, Charles?
Well, I was going to go with the A's, but I think they've gotten shot out enough between the two of us and Andrew and Tori as well. I was just going to add that their next 3 series are teams that they went, 9-1 against and then 10-3 with the Angels. So I don't see them slowing down anytime soon, but yeah. I'm going to go with the AL East, moving out of the NL. We basically covered almost every division except for the AL Central, but I'm going to go with the Rays. I know I mentioned them early on in the podcast. I think it was episode 2 in the podcast episodes, but I was really surprised that there's, sitting in first place in front of the Yankees right now. As you said, Heather, Yankees yeah. aren't starting off as hot as everyone thought. I thought that they were going to go like honestly 50-10, but they slowed down a lot. And man, I mean, the Rays have been coming together a lot with Snell, and their pitching staff is doing awesome. I love their hitting. They've only gotten swept once, and that was to a great Orioles team that started off. Since then, they've won every single series except for one, so they're hot right now, and they're only a game back on the best record in baseball to the Dodgers. They're 17-8, Dodgers are 19-8, so that's technically a game because it's same amount of losses. So I'm thinking that the Tampa Bay Rays are here to stay. Their bats are coming in hot. They've had like three double-digit run games at least in like as many as we've had so far in half the season, which is kind of a lot for them. You know, I was thinking they were going to have to rely more mostly on their pitching, but I see the Tampa Bay Rays going strong in that division. That division started off hot, and they did too, and they can handle the competition. So I think the Tampa Bay Rays are going to have themselves a year and win the division this year. I'm calling it right here on episode 8. So,
oh, hot take, Ray. Look out, Yanks.
Right now, we're going to see if it comes through probably by episode, man, probably like episode 12. We'll see if that comes through, or 13, but
yeah,
they got it.
Yes. Special shout out to Chicago. We haven't talked about the NL Central. The Cubs are weirdly good. That's all. So the moral of the story is, Reese, who has the best record in baseball right now? Who is it?
Now it's the Dodgers for now.
For now. All right, guys. This has been Your Take, Our Take, and we'll be back shortly. We'll take a little break here.
The Bullpen is proud to announce their partnership with Baseball Monkey. That's right. The industry leader in baseball equipment and team sales is joining forces with the Bullpen. For all your equipment, team uniforms, and training wear needs, contact mail2@teamsales.monkeysports.com. That's mailto:teamsales@monkeysports.com. You can also contact Thomas at 866-673-6425. Make sure to stop by their website as well at http://baseballmonkey.com. Use our promo code BULLPEN15 to get 15% off all eligible products at Baseball Monkey. That's capital BULLPEN15. The expiration date is September 5th, 2020, so make sure to get your product soon.
That's it for us here at All Talk No Balk. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you to Tori for joining us again. We had a great time, great episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And for next week, we're getting into jerseys. Isn't that right, Heather?
Yes, we're so excited. Andrew came up with this topic. Shout out to Andrew. We need an air horn sound effect, Charles, because there's so many air horn worthy.
We'll get one.
So next week's topic is a two-parter. So we're talking about jerseys next week at the halfway point of the season or thereabouts. Which team has the freshest kind of alternate jersey? It's cool, it's retro, it's a throwback, it's this or that. And then B to that is what's just an all-time favorite classic. You know, there's Dodgers, Yankees, I mean, all those Cardinals, you know, Cubs. So any of those Giants, I guess, have a nice orange if you like Halloween. So that's that. And other than that, you can follow us on all the usual platforms. Anchor is up and running. So listen out for on Spotify. And you can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter. You could go to our website, callthebullpen.com. All the information in the Spotify, if you're listening, will be in the description. All the information in the YouTube video will be at the end of this video coming up. And I think that's everything, guys. We want to thank everybody, like Charles said, for being here. And this was an all bullpen episode, and it's going to be the same next week with one special guest just for Your Take, Our Take. We're very excited to have six people. This was so fun, guys. We love working with everybody, and every week is getting better and better. So thank you guys for being here, and we'll see you all here at 10:30 next week, 12 o'clock if you're listening.
That's right, Heather, and it's going to be these same beautiful faces. So we hope you like this episode. Yeah. You're going to see us all again next week with the addition of Callan. So we hope you guys are ready.
All right. Bye, guys.
Take care. Have a great weekend, guys.
Bye.